Okay, if it's being recorded, we should start the shiur. Yesterday we discussed the fact that in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, there are 613 mitzvahs, and there are Ramach mitzvahs haseh, 248 mitzvahs haseh. Not all of them are a mitzvah kiyumah. Some of them are an isra haseh, but the Gemara will call alav habo mechlal haseh. In the yeshivas today, we don't use that expression. We call it an iser asay. And sometimes you have a mitzvah that's both, a kiyum asay and an iser asay. So we pointed out that tashbisu is an iser asay, that after we say, ach be yom rishon tashbisu, yom rishon the Gemara establishes means Erev Pesach. It does mean the first day yontif. And ach is usually a miyut, ach merakana miyutim heim. So ach means that we divide the day in half. So after chatzais, that's the zman of the Yisra Aseh. What's the Yisra Aseh? So Pashim Pshat is that after chatzais, all the chametz is also b'achila b'hanoah, and also to keep it in your possession. But it's only an Yisra Aseh. So if a person will eat chametz erev Pesach after chatzais, will he get malchus? If it's based on the Yisra Aseh of Tashbisu, there wouldn't be any malchus. Maybe there's a lav. So the Gemara says later, that's a machlokes Reb Yudah and Reb Shimon. The Gemara explains in the second parak that there are three psukim that say you're not allowed to eat chametz. So Reb Yudah interprets that the three psukim refer to three different zmanim. The main pasuk goes on the fact that you're not permitted to eat chametz with Pesach. And one who does is the onish kares. Then another pasuk tells you the chametz she'ova olav ha-Pesach is asa b'achila, whether the chametz belong to a Jew or to a non-Jew. It's not a penalty because someone violated by Rabbi Matz. It's a din deraisa. All chametz in the whole wide world becomes asa b'achila b'hanoah on Pesach. If one eats it on Pesach, it's an isa kares. If you eat it after Pesach, it's an isa lav, and you're loike. Obviously, we don't pass like that because right after Pesach is over, we go to the goyish stores, and we buy the chametz. Obviously, we don't accept the opinion of Reb Yudah. We accept the shita of Reb Shimon that all the three psukim go on Pesach, and the prohibition of chametz she'ovah olav ha-Pesach is only with the Rabbanan. It's a penalty because the fellow violated Bal Yerov by Matze. In a certain sense, it's a penalty. It's not really considered macholas asuris. The Gemara says that the only asid chametz she'ovah olav ha-Pesach, when according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, whose opinion we follow, only chametz shel Yisrael she'ovah olav ha-Pesach, chametz shel Nochri she'ovah olav ha-Pesach is muta b'achila, muta b'hanoah. So chametz shel Yisrael that you're not allowed to eat it, it's a knas, it's a penalty. The Gemara said they only asked it when it's bien, when it's alidei taruvis, it's muta. So there's a big machlekes Rashi in the Torah over there. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah Berurah, it's quoted. What do you mean when the chametz is not bien, when it's alyidei taruvitz is muta? Taruvitz usually means when you have a roiv heter and a miyut iser, and you don't need shishim. The din of shishim is only needed when something is macholas asuris, then the din is that it's not bottled b'roiv if it's nice and tam, because we have a din tam ki iker. If the iser succeeded in giving the sinas tam, it's let's say the chametz she'ova olav ha-Pesach is an ingredient in a mixture with other food, and it succeeds in giving tam into the rest of the food. So you only apply tam ki ikir if you're dealing with macholas asuris. If you're not talking about macholas asuris, there's no din of tam ki ikir. So the pashtus really is that chometz she'ovah olav ha-Pesach is not macholas asuris even with rabbanan. They made a din. You're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to get hano. It's a penalty. So really, it should be that it should be bottle bereiv. But because the Torah, that's how Rashi seems to learn, but because the Torah says you need shishim, so l'chatchila we machmer that you have to have shishim. But the Mishnah Berurah writes that if you have a mokam hefsid merubah, then we revert back to the Iker Adin. The Iker Adin really is that that chametz she'ovah olav ha-Pesach is bottle bereiv. But that's a lot of times you have a din in Shulchan Aruch. That if you have a makam hefsid merubah, you make it. Well, why the dinim change? But makam hefsid merubah, the dinim don't change. If it's a real din, how does it change? So Rav Soloveitchik used to explain in the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, but you don't really need Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. The Ramah wrote a sefer Toras Chatos, And everything in the Ramon Yerideh is based on what he writes in the Taras Chatas. The Shach in Yerideh quotes the Sefer Taras Chatas every single page in Yerideh. He always quotes the Taras Chatas. He quotes other Svarim also. But he'll always quote, when he wants to figure out exactly what the Ramah is writing on, he'll always quote the Taras Chatas. So in the Hagdomah to the Taras Chatas, he explains why every so often he will need Mekel. If it's Erev Shabbos and you have nothing else to eat for Shabbos, then you Mekel on something. As if you invited guests, and if you'll be Machmer that the flesh is treif, then you won't have what to give to the guests. You just give them the soup and the dessert, and they won't have a main course. So if you have, a hefsid merubah, whatever the definition of hefsid merubah is, that's another discussion. So if you have a hefsid merubah, you mekel. So what is that all about? What the din changes when you have a hefsid merubah of Zerav Shabbos and you have nothing else to eat? So the Rambam explains, when you have a big machlokes, and the ikarid din halacha really is that it's mutter, but out of respect for the tour, out of respect for the Rashba, out of respect for the Rabbi Natam, there's a rishon that says that it's aser. So we really don't paskin like that. But out of respect for the Rabbi Natam, out of respect for this rishon that says that it's aser, so we don't eat it. But there's a limit how much you're mechuyev to mim chabat talmid chachamim. You're not mechuyev to suffer hefsid merubah for the din of kabat talmid chachamim. If it's really also because of hilchas macholas asuras, it's really also because of hilchas treifas, hilchas nevelas, then you can't be mekel b'makom hefsid merubah. But we're talking there's a machlokes, and the ikar din we paskin that it's mutter. But shalai b'makom hefsid merubah out of respect for the minority opinion that's not accepted, so we don't want to eat it. But there's a limit how far that goes. So that's b'makom hefsid merubah. The Mishnah Berurah says that he quotes the haskamas achar b'makom hefsid merubah. We pass on the chametz of all of our pesach is bottled bereiv. You don't even need shishim. Why? Same thing bishul akum. The chachamim prohibited if a nochri cooks food. So the chachamim were very concerned about intermarriage. So they prohibited bishul akum and pasakum and stam yenom, all because of chasnus, because it may lead to intermarriage. If I'll enjoy the delicious food that the nochri cooked, so I may decide to marry his daughter in order to have a lifetime supply of that delicious food. The Chacham were very concerned about intermarriage. And today, more than 50% of the Jews in America are intermarried. It's unbelievable. More than 50% of the Jews in America are intermarried because they were never careful on all these gzeiros that are banon. So the Chuvas Haran explains in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machloikis. When you have bishul akum, let's say anochri cooked something, and the prohibition of bishul akum only applies if the food is not nechel kmo shu chai. If it's edible when it's raw, then there's no gzeira bishul akum. So let's say the nochri cooked something, a mixture of different foods. One of the ingredients is not nechel kmo shu chai, and the rove of the ingredients are nechel kmo shu chai. So there's no bishul akum on the roif. On 70% of it, there's no isa bishul akum as nechel kmo shu chai. And the miut of it is a meichel which is not nechel kmo shu chai. So there's a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch. Do you need shishim to be mevatel the isa of bishul akum? Because you say tam ki ikar. It's nice and tam whenever you have a taruas. We assume it's usually nice and tam. Up until you have shishim, that's the average. Once you have shishim of het against the little bit of isa, it's probably not going to be nice and tam. If it still is clearly nice and tam, let's say you have a spice, avida l'taima, then it's nice and tam, even if it's more than shishim, then it's not bottle. Then it's tam ki ikar. Shishim is the approximate shia. So there's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, whether to be mevatel bishul akum, if an achri cooked something and it's also, do you need shishim or is it enough with roiv? So Mikra Din, we pass on that roiv is enough. So the Ran in the Chuvas Haran explains that there are three issues that are all interconnected. One is if an achri cooked, let's say I have a cleaning lady and she took an egg in the middle of her work. She took one of the pots in the house, a kosher pot, and she cooked an egg in the pot for herself. She fried an egg. All kosher ingredient, but she fried an egg. So the egg is treif. I'm not allowed to eat it. So do I have to now kasha the pot? Because the pot has a bliya from the treif egg. So that's a machloikis in Rishonim. What's the machloikis? After kasha, treif kelim is based on the assumption that tam ki ikar. So we paskan mikar adin, there's a machlekes, but they need shishim by bishul akum. So if you don't need shishim, it means that you don't say tam kiker, you know, because it's not really macholas asuris. The chachamim said, this is like dancing with a nachris. It's like dating a non-Jewish girl. If you're going to eat bishul akum, that's his scarves with the nachri, and we're afraid it may lead into marriage. But it's not really, even with the rabban, it's not really macholas asuris. Tanisa have this karvus with the nochri that may lead to intermarriage. So that's why we paskin that you don't need shishim. And the Ran and the Tshuva says, therefore, you really ought to say, if there's no din of tam ki ikar, so the bli and the pot is not going to make treif, whatever I'm going to cook in the pot afterwards will not become treif. By definition, you're always going to have roif. Whatever you're going to cook in the pot after the goy cooked the bishul akum, you're always going to have roif, so you really shouldn't have to kasha the pot. So these two should be totally zed. And the Ran explained, there's a third issue. What if a nochri cooked some food, bishul akum, kemaychol ben derusoi, it was not nechol kemo shehu chai, and nochri cooked it shlish bishula, and some people would eat it the way it is. Let's say steak. Some people enjoy the steaks when they're well done. Other people enjoy the steaks when it's rare. That it's only shlish bishula, chatzi bishula. So if the nochri cooks, that's the definition of bishul. If someone, Ben Durisai was a gangster who lived in the days of the Tanoim. He was a ganav, and he was always running away from the police. They were always out to catch him. So he would always broil his food very briefly, and he would do the least that it's necessary. He would gobble down the food and he would run because he was always on the run, running away from the police. So the Tanoim referred to his food, Michael Ben Durusoy. Rav Soloveitchik always used to mispronounce. He said, Michael Reb Dustoy. Reb Dustoy was a Tana, but Ben Durusoy was a gangster. So Michael Ben Durusoy was the food of this gangster who used to only cook it either Shlish Bishula, Chatzi Bishula. That's a question Rashi and the Rambam. How much did he cook the food? Whether shlish came out the same. Shlish bishula, chatzi bishulai. So what's the din if a nochri cooks food? Let's say he broils meat, shlish bishula, so it's treif, it's bishalakum, and that's all he does. Then a Jew takes that food and he puts it back on the broiler and he cooks it some more, he broils it some more till it becomes levushal kol tzarkai. So the din is that if a Jew cooked part of the food, partially, then there's no din of bishul akum. So that's if the Jew cooked the shlish bishulai, then afterwards the goy cooks it a little more. What if it be the reverse? First the goy cooked it, chatzi bishula. So it becomes also because of bishul akum, then a Jew continues to cook it. Does it take off the iser, the fact that the Jew continued to cook, does it take off the iser that was already there before? So that's a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch. So we paskan lahokel. So the Ran explains, what does the machloikis depend on? He says that we have a klal. The klal is really mutal b'machloikis, but that's what the Ran is, and we have a klal. Treif eino chazeres lehechshera. If you have food that became treif, let's say an animal breaks a leg by the mokum of the tzumas hagidin. There's a spot in the leg where there, I think, 16 gidden cross over each other. So if the animal breaks its leg by the mokum tzumas hagidin, the whole animal is a treifa. Not only the leg is osam bachila, the whole animal is a treifa. So what if you have such an animal that it broke a leg by mokum tzumas hagidin? Then I take a saw and I cut off another 3 inches. So now it has a broken leg above. So that's a machloek is the Ramban and the Rosh. And the Ramban holds, treifel chazeres lachshere, even though the animal originally broke its leg, b'mokum tzumas hagidin, a tzomet is a crossroads. So there's a tzomet, there's a tzumas hagidin, where all the gidin cross over each other. I think there are 16. They cross over each other at that point. So b'mokum tzumas hagidin, it becomes a treifel. But if the animal broke its leg above or below that, then it's not a treifa. So what if the animal broke its leg, b'makom tzumas hagidin, and it was chalad din treifa, and then the sheikh takes a saw and he cuts off another 2 inches above that. So do you say treifa chazeres lehechshera? So Ramban says yes. Let the sheikh use his brains and he should see if the animal has a broken leg by the tzumas hagidin, cut off another couple of inches. So the rest of the Bema will not be a treif. And the Rosh says it's against the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say explicitly, treif eino chazeres lehechshera. So one could have understood that it's a special din in Hilchus Treifus. So the Drasha Saran assumes not so. It's a din, let's say I cooked basar b'chalav. I cooked meat with milk. And then I have a chemical procedure whereby I remove every single speck of the milk. So do you say that it's no longer basar b'chalav, it becomes mutar? You say no. Once it became basar b'chalav, the chalav was also, the basar is also. So even if I'll remove every speck of chalav from the basar, it became basar b'chalav. So the Ran is assuming, that, like the Rosh, like the Bali Atos, this and Machlekes, Rashi also holds like the Ramban, Treif is Chazeres Lachshera, and the Rosh always represents the sheet of the Bali Atos. So the Tosis and the Rosh hold, Treif ain't a Chazeres Lachshera, and the Ran assumes that it's not only a din in Hilchas Treifus about diseases and sicknesses in the animal, it's a din in all Macholos Asuras. Whenever food became Asab Achila, it's ain't a Chazer Lachshera. So what's the story with Bishal Akum? If the Nochri cooked the food, the Nochri broiled the meat, Chatzi Bishulo, and it becomes also because of Bishal Akum, then the Jew takes that steak and he puts it back on top of the broiler and he broils it Koltzarka. He continues to broil it. Does it take off the Yisim? So the Ran says it depends on this fundamental Machlokes. When the Chachamim prohibited Bishal Akum, what motivated them to prohibit it is because they're concerned about intermarriage, and this is going to lead to intermarriage. So did they declare that because of that motivation, therefore we declare that Bishal Akum is Macholos Asuras? If it's Macholos Asuras, then you say Tam Kiyika, then you need Shishim. Then if you cooked in a pot, you have to kasher the pot, because you cooked tray for food, and then the rule applies. Tray for Ein Chazeres Lechshera. But since we paskin that you don't need Shishim, so that the Ran says that shows that we pass in la loche that even with the Rabbanan, it's not only that this is what motivated the Chachamim to introduce the Yisr because it may lead to intermarriage. A lot of times what motivated them to make an Yisr is one thing, and then they made the Yisr in a different mahalok. Called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came the Raisa Tikkun, came the Raisa of a different din. But here the Ran says no. We assume la locha that the prohibition of Bishal Akum is because it's considered a hiskarvus with the nochri. It's not a cheftz of macholas asuris, even with the rabbanon. So therefore, the rule of treif einach hazeres lachsher would not apply. The problem is that we in Shulchan Aruch we pasken if the nochri cooked and it became Bishal Akum, Yisrael cooks it some more, it becomes mutter hazeres lachsher. We pasken roiv is enough; you don't need shishim. Like we said, Bechamet Shavu La Pesach Mikir Adin, it's a penalty. It's not that they declared it Macholas Asuris Midirabbanan. Even Midirabbanan is not Macholas Asuris. They penalized you for having violated by your Rabbi Matzeh. But the third Nafkemina is a question in Shulchan Aruch. If a Nochri cooked the Nochri, let's say, fried an egg in a kosher pot, do you have to kasher the pot or not? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions, and when it's quoted in Hilcha Shabbos, if you have a chayla on Shabbos, so if you can have a goy cook for the chayla needs some food, so you can have a goy cook the food, so it's better. But now the question is, the goy cooks the food, so other people can't eat it because it's Bishal Akum. And the chayla can only eat it on Shabbos. Once Shabbos is over and he can have a Jew cook the food, he's not allowed to eat the leftover food that the goy cooked on Shabbos because it's Bishal Akum. So now after Shabbos is over, they have to kasher the pot. Because the pot, it was mutter to have the goy cook the food. It was mutter on Shabbos for the chayla to eat the food. Special heter. Chayla Shem Sakon is allowed to eat Bishal Akum on Shabbos if he gets stuck and he has nothing else to eat. He's allowed to eat Bishal Akum. So there the Mishnah Berurah is mekel. But generally, if you have a case of Bishal Akum where there was no heter, it wasn't even a temporary heter on Shabbos, then we usually do kasha. We insist that you do have to kasha. So that's a question. Why? It doesn't make any sense. The way the Ran explained in his tshuva makes a lot of sense. If you say that Bishal Akum and Pas Akum is bottled berev, you don't need shishim, means that it's not even labeled as Macholos Asuris Midirabbanon. So why should you have to kasha the pot? You're always going to have roif. And you don't need shishim. The whole din of kashering treifa pots is based on the idea of tam kiker. When the Gemara discusses the whole sugya later in Pesachim, how do you know there's an institution of tam kiker and kol ha'tor kula? The Gemara some Tanaim learn out from the Parsha of Giulei Klei Midyan, that it says in Parshas Matos that after they won the war against the Midyanim, they confiscated a lot of treif of pots and pans. So they had to kasher all the treif of pots. So the Gemara said, what do you have to kasher the pots for? Wash them out. Don't eat the treif of food that the goyim cooked. The Gemara says, no, you see that there's a din of tam ki iker. If there wouldn't be a din of tam ki iker, you wouldn't have to kasher the treif of pots. So if by bishul akum there's no din of tam ki iker, that's why it's bottled berav, you don't need shishim. So then you shouldn't have to kasher the, you shouldn't have to kasher the pot. It isn't a stirim psak. That's a murderous kasha. So you have to know a lot of Yeridaya to be able to begin to give an answer on that kasha. But the pashta says that the Ran is right. The Ran had the three nafkaminas in this machlekes of Rishon. Yeah, so we mentioned here in Hilchas Pesach, there are three psukim that say the same thing in Adla de Yitchomitz. So
Rabbi?
Yes.
Don't we not paskin like the Ran's Yisod anyways? Because in Hilchos Taroves, we paskin like the Taz about Basar B'chalav that Efshel Hafrido Mutter.
Efshel Hafrido we paskin is Mutter? I don't think so. The Shach has two opinions. Simekuf Hei. I thought we paskin Efshel Hafrido is Osar. That's a machlokes in Rishonim. Whether Basa B'chal of Efshel Afrida is Asa Muta. I think we paskan that it's Asa. Because Treif Enech Azeres Lechshera. I think we assume like that premise of the Ran. Efshel Afrida by Basa B'chal of is Asa. I think so. Yeah. I think it's in Simen Kufei in the Shach Sukkot Yud Zayin or something. It's a big Shach. So let's get back. So again, so the Gemara points out that there are three psukim that say you're not allowed to eat chametz. So what do you need three psukim to say the same thing? So Rabbi Yehuda says one pasuk goes on Pesach. If he eats chametz b'Pesach, one pasuk goes chametz she'over all of our Pesach is an isa deraisa, even if it was chemtzah shel nochri. Obviously, we don't pass like that. We all go to the goyish stores and buy the chametz right after Pesach. We hold like Reb Shimon, the chametz she'over la Pesach is only awesome in the Rabbanon. Because of a penalty. So chemtzah shalakum, there's no penalty. And the third pasuk, according to Rabbi Yehuda, goes on Erev Pesach Heftachat. So it's not only is there an Iser essay of Tashbisu that you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to get Hano, and you're not allowed to have it in your possession. There's a Lois essay. So whoever eats chametz on Erev Pesach Heftachat says it's loike, not loike because of the Iser essay of Tashbisu, but loike because of the Iser lav that there's another pasuk that says you're not allowed to eat chametz. Reb Shimon disagrees, and he says, no, all the three psukim go on Pesach. Chometz, sho'aval of a Pesach, is only a penalty in the Rabbanim and Atarot's Mutter, and the penalty is only chemtzah shalakim, sho'aval of a Pesach. And chometz, on our Pesach, after chatzos, if you eat it, you don't get malchus. How do we paskin? So we paskin like this Tam Mishnah, chemtzah shalakim, sho'aval of a Pesach, is Mutter. So obviously we have accepted Reb Shimon's opinion, but on paskin like Reb Yudin. So the Rambam splits the Psak and all the Rishonim ask, the Ravid asks and the Hasagos Ravid, and the Ramban and the Sefer Hamitzvah says there is no Tana who holds like that. The Rambam paskins by Chometz over all of our Pesach like Reb Shimon that it's only awesome of the Rabbanon. But Chometz on Erev Pesach he paskins that's an Issa Lav. If you eat Chometz on Erev Pesach Heftach Hatzos you are loike because in addition to the Issa Esei of Tashbisu, then he said, Allah, not to eat chametz and rapeh. So that's the kasha the Rishonim is. There's no Tan who holds like that. How did the Rambam split over here? The three psukim, so the Reb Shimon holds, all three go on Pesach. And Reb Yehuda holds, no, one goes on Erev Pesach, one goes on chametz all about Pesach. So the Rambam paskin, half like Reb Yehuda, half like Reb Shimon. And Erev Pesach, half the chametz, he paskins like Reb Yehuda, that is in Issa Lav, in addition to the Issa Resay. And Achamet Shavah La Pesach, he passed him that it's only the Rabbanon that's not. So that's the Pella. That's the Pella. Yeah, exactly. That's the Iser Esei. The Iser Esei, the Zman of the Iser Esei, Achilik is after Chatzos. When is the Zman of the Kiyum Asei? When is there a Mitzvah Asei? So Rashi learns, Achilik is split the day in half. In the morning before Chatzos is the Zman of the Kiyum Asei. You have to burn the Chametz before it comes Chatzos. And after Chatzos is this man of the Yisrael. In the Balei HaTosis, disagree, we had two different Tosis in. Then we found Rav Soloveitchik pointing out the Mordechai on the first page in Maseches Pesachim quotes one of the Balei HaTosis would leave over a kazayis of chametz to burn it dafke after chatzos, because the Balei HaTosfos were of the opinion that the zman of the kiyum esei tashbisa, the kiyum esei, is the same zman as the yisuras. How do you know there's a kiyum esei? So the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the fact that you recite a bracha shekedushana b'mitzvoso tzivano al biar chametz. Whether the nusach should be al or the nusach should be levaeres al chametz doesn't make a difference. You only say a bracha when you're about to do a kiyum mitzvah. When a person is going to eat kosher food, he's going to avoid violation of eating treifas. He doesn't say a bracha shekedusham tzan shalol lechol macholas hasuras. That's what we spoke about yesterday. What kind of a strange bracha is it under the chuppah, the birchas erusin, the tzivano al ha'arayas? We're going to say a bracha that we're not going to marry one of the relatives. We're marrying a girl who's not related to us, not one of the arayas. What are you mentioning the Yisurim in the bracha? What kind of a birchas hamitzvah is this? So that's what motivated the Rosh, who got it from the Balei HaTosfos, to say that it's not at all a birchas hamitzvah, birchas shevach v'hoidoya, and the bracha shevach v'hoidoya is always recited lachar asiyosim. Only a birchas hamitzvah is recited birchas hanenin. Yeah, I always have to say the bracha before you get the hano. Asa lahanis merele mazeh b'lei bracha. That's why you have to recite the birchas hanenin before you eat the food. And birchas hamitzvah has to be recited over l'asa yosem. Yeah. So that's a big machlokes. Rashi and Tosfos, when is the zman of the kiyum esei? According to Rashi, the zman of the kiyum esei is before chatzos, in the morning. Achilik splits the day in half. The zman of the kiyum esei is the morning. The zman of the iser esei is the afternoon. And Tosfos holds on that the zman of the kiyum esei is in the afternoon also. Everything is after chatzos. So what do you mean? Aren't you going to violate the Isser of possessing chametz? You're going to wait till after chatzos to burn the chametz. So the answer is Tosfos has a Gemara later, but Tosfos points out that if you mash your chametz, the Gemara has, let's say, Hegdish has a loaf of bread. Somebody donated to Hegdish a loaf of bread. So what's Hegdish going to do with a loaf of bread? They're going to auction it off to the highest bidder. So someone's going to buy this loaf of bread from Hegdish. Hegdish doesn't violate Bal Yirah by Matzah. If it's Hegdish, then nobody violates Bal Yirah by Matzah. So what's Hegdish going to do? So the Gizba is going to auction it off. And what's the Letzen Chalamoid? Someone's going to be paid to the Hegdish. He's going to buy the Chametz. What's he going to do with it? He's going to burn it. What's he buying the Chametz for? He's going to pay a dollar for a loaf of bread. Then he's going to burn it to fulfill it. So how is he allowed to buy the Chametz? Hakoyin HaChametz B'Pesach is in violation of Bal Yirah by Matzei. So Tosfos says, no, if you buy the Chametz from Hegdish, if you buy the Chametz from Hegdish V'Daito Levayer, you have a mind to destroy it, then you're not in violation of Bal Yirah by Matzei, even though you brought it into your ownership, because it's a lav anitek le'asei, and whenever you violated the lav intending to do the asei, so there's no issa in the first place. That's what Tosfos writes. Shagasari is very unhappy about that. He says, what do you mean? There's a din of loisigzol, and you don't get malchus. The Gemara says in the third perik in Makkos, in perik Elohen Aloiken, there's no malchus on loisigzol because it's a lav anita class. If you did steal something, then there's an essay, the hesha b'sagzela. So is it permissible to steal, having in mind, going in v'amanas l'hachzir? Is it mutter? The Gemara says, beferish that it's osa. So, but it's a lav anita essay. So Tosfos sounds later on as if they're saying, in general, universal din, every lav anitek lesi is permitted to violate the lav if you have a mind from the very outset to fulfill the essay. Unless he said that a gozal manas lahachzir is only an issa derabbanan. The simple reading of the Gemara is that it's an issa deraisa. So the Tzois in the end of Choshe Mishpot, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes that din, gozal manas lamekat, I steal something from someone else, I plan to give it back. Children in school always do like that. They steal a pencil or the pen from the child who's sitting next to them just to have the other person get a little aggravated. Then after 15 minutes of aggravation, then they give them back this, the pencil or the pen. So the Tzois quotes the Ritva, it must be it's only an Issa de Rabbanan because everybody does it. Maisim Mechayam, everybody does it. They steal Gozel Amanas Lamekat. If it would be an Issa deraisa, the people wouldn't do it. So it's obvious that it's only an Issa derabbanan. That's why people violate. Why do they violate Issa derabbanan? They're not supposed to violate Isurim derabbanan either. It's a stomach pillar. That's the taina of the Shagasarya. If Tosfos is right, that Masha Chametz HaManas Levara is not by Yirah by Matzah because it's a lava nikta glase, So goza lamanas lamekat, if I lamanas lamekat means to aggravate the other person. I'm stealing, having in mind to give it back later after he'll be aggravated for a while. Then I'll give him back his the pencil that I stole from him. So it's goza lamanas lahachzir. So the Pashta says that it's an isa deraisa, that's a kash. So the Tosis says that the Balei HaTosfos, the Mordechai quoted one of the Balei HaTosfos, not the Riyah de Rabbeinu Tam, not one of the famous Balei HaTosfos, some other Balei, they quote him by name, that he saved all the chametz he burned in the morning, but some of the chametz he saved to after Chatzos in order to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa. Because the Zman of the Kiyum Essay is after Chatzos. So, but isn't he in violation of the Issa Essay of Tashbisu? So just like Taisa said, the answer is no. Just like Taisa said, one is not in violation of Bal Yirah Bai Matzah if he buys the chametz from Hegdish. If he's paid in the loaf of bread from Hegdish and he intends to burn the loaf of bread, Masha Chametz Amanas Levarai is not in violation of Bal Yirah if he does it on Pesach. So if he does it on Erev Pesach, he's Masha Chametz Amanas Levarai. So he's not in violation of the Iser Essay of Tashbisu either. He plans to be Mashbisu. He's planning to destroy it. So then, just like Tess said, there's no Bayi Rabbi Matzah, there's no Iser Esseh of Tashbisu either. Exactly how he's supposed to destroy the Chametz Tashbisu, the Kiyum Esseh, how he's supposed to. So that's a machlokes in the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the second Perek, Daf Chaf Aleph, and Maran machlokes are Buta and the Rabbanan. Buta is of the opinion, and be a Chametz Ale B'Sreifa, and the Chachamim say, Hashbisasa B'Chal Dova. How do you paskin? Do you paskin like our Buta, do you paskin like the Rabbanan? So normally it should be a dead giveaway, Yochad V'Rabim. Halacha kirabim, we should pass on like the chachamim that hash basasa b'chal dover. Af mefarav zola ruach amatalayam, you flush it down the toilet or crush it up and scatter it in the wind and throw it all over, destroy it in some other way. So why should anybody think the din is like Rabbi Yehuda said? Tosis quotes, the minority opinion in Tosis is that we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because you have stam mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Usually halacha is stam mishnah. Where do you have a stam mishnah? So at the end of Tmura, the very last Amud, Tmura ends on an Amud Aleph. So the last Amud Beis in Tmura, the Mishnah gives you a list of Nisrafim. The Mishnah gives you a list of all of the Yisurano. So some of them are Nisrafim, and some of them are just, you throw them in the garbage. So it says that the Orla and Kloy HaKerem. There's a pasuk by Kloy HaKerem. It says, "Asizach Karmacha Kiloyim Pentigdash Hamalaya Shetizra Tuas HaKorem." So Pentigdash, the Torah Shabbal Pet. Pentigdash means lest it'll become also Achila Ba'ano. Pentigdash. So the Torah Shabbal Pet has an additional level of interpretation. Pentigdash, Pentukareish, that you have to burn it. That's how you know that Kloy HaKerem is Bisreifa. How do you know that Orlo is Bisreifa? If you plant the tree, Kisavoy al Ha'aretz and Entaitim Kol Etzmacha, that's in Parshas Kedoshim, in the middle of Chumash Vayikra. The Orlo in Eretz is a pasuk in Chumash. Orlo b'chutz la'aretz only known through Halach al Moshe in Sinai. So in the Chumash it says, when you plant the tree, so the peres are Rosa, Bachila, or Bahanoa, any peres that grow the first 3 years are Orlo. So the Mishnah says that it's also ton sreifa. You're supposed to burn it. How do they know that it's ton sreifa? The Gemara never explains. The Gemara just quotes a pasuk for kloy hakerem. The pasuk says pentigdash, and the Torah Shemal Peh has an additional level of interpretation, pentukareish. The pshuta shal mikra is also true. And amik yotzi midei pshuta, but in addition to the pshuta shal mikra, you have additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. So Rashi and Tosfos right over there on that Mishnah next to the last Omud in Maseches Tmura, there must be some Yalfusa, they don't know where it is. There must be some Limud making an equation and a connection between Orla and Kloy HaKerem. So just like by Kloy HaKerem, the Pasuk says Tigdash, and we dash in Tukadesh. So somehow this carries over to Orla, and we have other Dinim also that they're both been Masayim. That's a Din Medir Rabbanan. That Orla and Kloy HaKerem is not enough Roibin, it's not enough Shishim, and it's not enough Meya. Truma is Batla Be'echer Meya. You have a unit, 100 units of Heter, and one unit of Truma, so the Truma will be Batla Be'meya, won't be Batla Be'shishim. So Arlan Klayakam, you need Masayim. Also Midirabbanan. Truma needs Me'ezon Midirabbanan. Tosis shows that from a Gemara in the end of Nida. And Arlan Klayakam is Masayim. So why are they lumped together? So somehow there's some kind of a Yalfusa. Tosis and Rashi said they don't know what it is. Some kind of a Yalfusa making an equation between Arlan Klayakam. So that's how you know that Arlan Klayakam are both Bisrei for you. How do you know Truma Temeya is Bisrei for? So the Gemara says in Bama Madlik and Kishem, it Pasuk says that Pigal Naisa Tame are Bisreifa. If you have carbonus and it became Tame or Pigal Naisa, so it's a mitzvah to burn it. So Raftas and Naisa Baish, and the Gemara learns that not only Naisa, even Pigal and even Tame also has to be burnt. So the Gemara in Bama Madlik makes this statement, Kishem She Mitzvah Lisreifa Sakotchim She Nitmu Kach Mitzvah Lisreifa Satruma She Nitmes. Sounds like kishem kach. Sounds like it's a dim in Torah. So Tosis there has two opinions. Tosis there and Bamei Madlikin has two ways to read. One way is to read this simple line kipshuta, just like there's a mitzvah in Torah to burn kochim shenitmu. That's a mitzvah in Torah. Pigal nois and tami are bisreifim in Torah. Kach so too mitzvah lusiv atruma shenitmes. It's a mitzvah in Torah. Then Tosis says maybe it's not so. Maybe it's only midrabbanan. That's a question. Okay. Whether that's the Raisa or the Rabbanan. But the Mishnah divides between the Nisrafim and the Nigbarim. All other Isuri Hanor, let's see, Habasa B'cholam. There's no mitzvah to burn the Basa B'cholam. You have other things that are Rasa B'cholam. There's no mitzvah to burn them. Only mitzvah to burn the Nisrafim. So the Mishnah lists off Chometz B'Pesach. Chometz and Er Pesach is Min HaNisrafim. So it's a Stam Mishnah like Reb Yudim. Then there's also another Stam Mishnah in Ezel Mekoyman. It says, HaPesach ein anechal ala balayla ben anechal ala ad chatzes ben anechal ala minuy ben anechal ala tzoli. No, that's a mistake. That's a different Stam Mishnah, but a different thing. Where the chatzos is the raisa de rabbana by Korban Pesach. That's also a Stam Mishnah that Chatzos is the Raisa, like a Blozdom and Azariah. That's a Machlokes Hatanoim. You have to finish eating the Korban Pesach by Chatzos, by midnight. Is that a Din Min HaTorah? Is that a Din Min HaRabbanan? So the Gemara in the first, commenting on the first Mishnah in Brachu, the Gemara said that's a Machlokes Rabbi Kiva, Blozdom and Azariah. So Rabbi Kiva holds that you have to, Min HaTorah, you can eat the Korban Pesach all night long. It's only a Gzer Min HaRabbanan that you have to finish eating by Chatzos. And Rav Loza Manazari holds that it's a dimin HaTorah. So Tosis in the end of Pesachim is not sure whether we pass on like Rabbi Akiva or pass on like Rav Loza Manazari. Usually we pass on halacha like Rabbi Akiva mechaveiroi. Whenever it's a yochid disagreeing with Rabbi Akiva, so we pass on like Rabbi Akiva. But halacha like Rabbi Akiva mechaveiroi, lo mechaveirov. If the rabbim disagree with Rabbi Akiva, then we don't pass on like Rabbi Akiva. Here, it's Rabbi Akiva disagreeing with Rav Loza Manazari, who was a Talmud of his, maybe his son-in-law. The Gemara has one version that he married Rabbi Akiva's daughter and then he got divorced. He decided marriage is not for him, whatever. So that's a question. So the Tosis points to that Mishnah in Ezel Mekoyman that that's a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Lozem and Azariah. A Pesach ein anechal elo at chatzos, a double negative ein anechal elo at chatzos. So Gemara said the Mishnah seems to be so emphatic about it. The Mishnah presents it as if it were a din deraisa. So that's a Stam Mishnah like Rav Lozem and Azariah. But here we're talking, is the din like Rabbi Yudah or not? So Tosfos quotes the Stam Mishnah at the end of Temura. The Mishnah lists off chometz among the Nisrafim, not among the Nigbarim. Sounds like Rabbi Yudah. And the Mishnayis and Psachim talk about Sorfim Tchila Shesh. You burn the chometz. It sounds like the practice was to burn the chometz. And the Mishnah says in the end of Temura, is there any difference between the Nisrafim and Nigbarim? Yeah, these you have to burn, those you just have to dispose of. So the Mishnah says, yes, HaNisrafim Afra Mutar. If you burn Orlan Klei Akerim, then the ashes will be Mutar B'Hanoah. But if you burn Nigbarim, if you burn Basa B'Choy, burn some other Yisrael HaNoah, once it's Asa B'Hanoah, it'll remain Asa B'Hanoah, even after you burn it and it'll turn it to ashes. It'll still be Asa B'Hanoah. So that's why the Mishnah says, HaNigbarim Lo Yisarfu. If you have Yisurei HaNoah that are not, there's no mitzvah to burn it. You shouldn't burn it because if you'll burn it, people make a mistake and think that Afra Mutter, because HaNisrafim Afra Mutter. So if you have something that's awesome, I know, but it's min ha-nigbarim, it's not min ha-nisrafim, has to be disposed of. You don't have to bury it in the ground. You throw it in the garbage, and the garbage man will collect it and dispose of it somewhere. They'll bury it somewhere else. No mitzvah, you should bury it. You should dispose of it. You're not allowed to leave it around the house, mishum chashash takole. You're not allowed to leave even non-kosher food. Even if it's mutabano, you're not allowed to leave non-kosher food, certainly something that's awesome. You're not allowed to leave it around the house because someone by mistake may eat it. Maybe the children won't realize that it's treif, and you leave it in the refrigerator, you leave it in the house, so they may by mistake eat it. So you have to dispose of it somehow. Yeah. So the fact that the Mishnayos say that you always burn the chametz, sorfim etchila sheish, you're burning the chametz, shows that that was the practice, that they burnt it. If the din would have been halacha kechachamim, that chametz is not min hanisrafim, then we really should have said that you're not allowed to burn it. Called kol hanigbarim lo yisarfu, because people will think that Avraham mutar. Tosis points out, the beginning of the second parak Pesachim, Tosis points out that according to the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that chametz on Erev Pesach is bisreife, then the ashes will be mutar. Calls hanigbarim hanisrafim Avraham mutar. But if the din would be like the Chachamim, the chametz on Erev Pesach is not been hanisrafim, it's been hanigbarim, there's no mitzvah to burn it, then the ashes will be asa. Why is there a difference whether something that's also banor, whether it's nisrafim or nigbarim? Why should there be a difference? So the different explanations given by the Rishonim. Some Rishonim hold that the nigbarim, Avraham Osir, is only Osir with the Rabbanim. In Atar, it's really Avraham Mutar, because Panim Chadash is Bo'o Lekan. It's Nishtana Legamre. It was also banor before, but once you burn it, it's really Mutar Bahanoa Min Atar, and by nigbarim, it's only Osir with the Rabbanim. That's some of the Rishonim say like that. And Rab Chaim Soloveitchik made popular the other opinion, that it's a different, Rab Chaim has in a sefer, an essay about this, on the Rambam Hilchas Chametz and Matzah. So he quotes the other Rishonim in the end of Temura. Why is there a difference between Nigbarim and Nisrafim? Why is Nisrafim Avraham Mutar and Nigbarim is Avraham Osir? So the other Rishonim explain, because there's a klal of Nasis Mitzvasa. Something is only asabana because it's oimed li mitzvasai. So once you did the mitzvah, then there's no reason that it should be asabana. Let's say you have pigal noisatame. So you're not allowed to, you're supposed to burn it. Pigal noisatame is a mitzvah man haTorah to burn it. So if you're going to get hanoah from it before you burn it, even though you're not consuming any of it, I'm going to get hanoah from it, then I'm going to burn it tomorrow. So if that the getting hanoah from it constitutes a bitul la mitzvah, it's considered as if you're mevatel la mitzvah burning it. It's omed la mitzvah to burn it, and you're not allowed to get any hanoah, that constitutes bitul la mitzvah. But once you burnt it already, so then there's no longer any reason that it should be asur hanoah. It's only asur hanoah because it's omed la mitzvah, in getting hanoah constitutes a bitl mitzvah. So that's only if it's nisrafim, then afran muta, because nasis mitzvah. The whole isa noah is because it's aymed le mitzvah. But if it's nigbarim, if it's not minan nisrafim, then even if you burn it, it'll still be osabano. Osabano is osabano. They don't hold from that idea of panim chadash bo olakan. And nisa shenishtan is going to be muta. Isa hanosh shenishtan is going to be muta. That's Rabbi Kiveger on Shulchan Aruch. Is bothered with Akasha. Why does Tosis say that if you'll burn chametz on Erev Pesach, whether the ashes will be mutaba no or not, depends whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda or hold like the Rabbanan. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, there ain't be a chametz al b'sreifa, then the ashes will be muta on Israf Mafra muta. If you hold like the Rabbanan, that hashbasasa b'chol dava, then the ashes will be asa. So Rabbi Kiveger asked the kasha, why? But even according to the Rabbanu, it should also be Nasis Mitzvah. And they all agree there's a mitzvah, Tashbisu. They just argue, how does one fulfill a mitzvah? Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rabbi Yehuda thinks, Rabbi Yehuda has a whole Yafusa from Noisar, that the only way to fulfill a mitzvah of Tashbisu by the Chometz is by burning it, just like by Noisar. He learns that from Noisar. But the Rabbanu hold you mekayim the mitzvah, Hashbasasa b'chol davar. So once you're mekayim the mitzvah of Tashbisu, it should be mutabano. Why does that say? It depends whether you hold halachic Rabbi Yehuda or halachic Rabbanan. That's Rebbe Kivega's kasha. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in his Sefer on the Rambam gives an answer on that. He's explaining Tosis. Why do Tosis hold that the Nasis Mitzvasa is mutter only applies if you hold like Rebbe Yehuda, and be a chometz ala b'sreifa, but if it's hash b'sasa b'chal doba, then you don't call it Nasis Mitzvasa. Why not? So that, okay. Rav Chaim has a whole explanation on that. Yeah, the Gemara says, we mentioned yesterday that the Noshim, Avodim, and Ktanim are Nemonim on B'dikas Chametz, because B'dikas Chametz is only needed Midirabbanim, because Midiraisa, the Beetle be Alma Sagim. And I tell it's enough with Beetle. Why is it enough with Beetle? Why does that satisfy the Aloha? So that Gemara is a famous Dalet on the base. That Gemara is a big Machlekes, Rashi and Tos. Rashi says, Min HaTorah, if you do bitul, you mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. Why? Because the Targumunkel is on the pasuk ach b'yom harishon tashbisu translates to vatlun, and Rashi understands tevatlun doesn't mean to destroy. Tevatlun means to be mevatel chametz, to say kol chamei dika b'shusi you mevatel chametz. Tosfos says, how can it be bitul making an oral declaration? It should be kafra diara. How is that a kiyum mitzvah? Rabbi Yehuda holds zem b'chametz ala b'sreifa. The Chomam hold hash b'sasa b'chol dover, but they all agree, Rabbi Yehuda Rabban, they all agree you have to destroy the chametz. You just make an oral declaration. As far as I'm concerned, it's worthless. It's a piece of junk. I don't plan to eat it. I don't plan to get any benefit from it. Should be ka'afra diara. Libotu v'lehevi ka'afra diara. So how was that a kiyum mitzvah tashbisa? So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. So how do you read the Gemara then? The Gemara says, Mederaisa b'bitol b'alma sagi. So Tosfos says, if you mevat lachamitz, that's a harama. That's a trick. That's a stunt. If you mevat lachamitz means that you're mafke the chametz. If you mafke, it's not yours. And if it's not yours, then you don't violate bal yira by matzeh, because the pasuk says, leira lachasar, leira lachachametz. Shalachay ataray, avalataray shalachay and mishal gavoya. Shalachay means if the chametz belongs to somebody else, you're not in violation. You only violate by yira by matzeh if the chametz belongs to you. And Tosfos also seems to hold like the Ramban HaChumash. Ramban HaChumash writes, it's not enough if it's shalcha. To be a full Bailam, you have to have shaloya b'shusay. That's a machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah. There's a sugyan babakam adav samachtes. And the Gemara has a machlokes abyechan and reish lokesh. That's really a machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah in Maisa Sheni. Full ownership is shaloya b'shusay. Let's say a ganav stole my automobile. I don't know where the automobile is, but the automobile belongs to me, so it's shali, the ainah b'shusi. So the Gemara says, I cannot sell it. We paskin like that Tana, and like Rabbi Yechanan, and Rish Lakish paskin like the other Tana. Both opinions appear in the Mishnah, and Masechas Maaseh Sheni. If my automobile was stolen, so it's only shali, the ainah b'shusi, so my bailus is incomplete. Or let's say Hagoyne ben Aganef, someone stole my automobile and they parked it. Someone did steal my automobile and they parked it in the parking lot of the church down the block on Bennett Avenue. So then someone else noticed. They knew my wife's license plate. She drives the car. They recognized the license plate. And they called us up on the phone. They said that our car is in the parking lot in the back of the church. So my wife went. And she picked it up. So let's say my wife would sell the car during that time that she didn't know where it was. Then it's shaloi veina b'shusai, because we don't know where it is. We don't have access to it. So that's a machlokes Rabbi Yechanan Reish Lakish. So we paskin like the Tana, and Rabbi Yechanan paskins like that Tana, that in order to be a full bail minit shaloi b'shusai, you can't be magdashit. If it's ain't a b'shusai, you can't be mecherit, and you can't be mafkerit. It has to be shaloi b'shusai. So Tosfos seems to hold, like the Ramban HaChumash, that in order to violate by Yoreh, by Matzleh, Yoreh L'cho has to be completely Shalcha, has to be Shaloi B'shusa. If it's Shaloi V'ena B'shusa, then you don't violate by Yoreh, by Matzleh. That's a Mishnah we spoke about. That's a Mishnah towards the end of Bava Kama. Gozal Chometz V'ova Olav HaPesach, HaGanav Stol Chometz, and then after Pesach is over, then the wise guy gives back the Chometz to the owner. So the Mishnah says, Amalah HaRei Shalach L'fanecha, the Ganav gives it back, and he says, here's the stolen, the chametz is worthless now, because it's also ba'anoah. So the ganav says, harei shalach lefanecha, so he doesn't have to pay. If the ganav stole an automobile and he destroyed it, so then he has to pay the value of the automobile, how much was it worth at the time that he stole it. But if he still has the automobile, it's bien. He just returns the automobile and doesn't have to pay anything. So the Mishnah says, "Gazal chametz over all of our pesel chamela harish alach lefanecha." Even though the chametz is now asa banoah, he can say harish alach lefanecha. So the Nadi Bihuda has a tshuva in the first volume, Madura Kama of the Nadi Bihuda, and Chelik Arachami has a tshuva where he explains, "Gazal chametz for over all of our pesach." Strictly speaking, nobody violated by matzah. Zelafi shena shaloi, zelafi shena b'shusai. The ganav didn't own the chametz; it wasn't his. The nignav owned it; it was shaloi, but it was ain't b'shusai. And the Rabban Chumash writes: in order to violate by matzah, have to be a full bialim; has to be shaloi b'shusai. So nobody violated by matzah. So the chametz is mutabahanua. Not that you can say hereish halacha fanech, despite the fact that it's also Bahanoah. The Mishnah means to say that it's Mutta Bahanoah because nobody violated Bal Yerod Bai Matz. In the second volume of the Nadi Bihuda, he has to answer many Rabbanim sent in letters. That's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Gozal Chametz Oval HaPesach, it does become Masa Bahanoah, and you can still say Haresh Alach L'Fanecha. Not that the Mishnah means to say that it's Mutta Bahanoah, it's Asa Bahanoah. So the Nadi Bihuda tries to defend what he wrote in the first volume. It should have been correct, but the Gemara said that that's not pshat in the Mishnah, okay? So that's a big question. The Gemara says, Shalchoy ataroy aval ataroy shal acherim v'shal gavoy. What does the word acherim mean? Gavoy means hegdish, okay? In heaven above, the Rabban Shlomo is in heaven, that's called hegdish. What is shal acherim? So Tosis seems to learn that you only violate by your by matzah if the chametz belongs to you, and it has to be shalcha or b'shuscha. You have to be a full bialim. Shalacherim means if the chametz belongs to someone else, you're not in violation of by your by matzah. In order to violate by your, it has to belong to you. Rashi doesn't translate like that. When the Gemara says shalcha avalat derash shalacherim, a lot of times the Gemara says acherim and it means nachrim. So Rashi translates over here. Chemtza shal nochri, you don't violate by your by matzah. So the Pnei Yeshua in his Sefer Psachim is medayik from the Rashi. Chemtza shal Yisrael acher birshusi. Let's say I have a roommate in a dormitory, a Jewish roommate who's not a shema mitzvahs, and he's not going to burn his chametz, not going to destroy his chametz, not going to sell his chametz, not going to destroy his chametz, leaving the chametz, but he's leaving the chametz in the apartment in the dormitory room. So that's chemtza shal Yisrael achad birshusi. So Rashi seems to hold that I violate Bal Yerod Bai Matzah, that you don't require ownership in order to violate Bal Yerod Bai Matzah. Hegdish is a hafkor, and shal akum is a hafkor. What does it mean? If the bailam of the chametz is a lav bar hochia Bal Yerod Bai Matzah, hegdish is not never in violation of Bal Yerod, and nochrim are not muzer in anything more than sheva mitzvahs ben enoich. So the Hegdish and the Akum are a Bailim who are not a Barhochi. They're not Eina B'Turis. They don't have a din in Bal Yerod Bai Matzah. So their Chometz is not subject to Nisa Bal Yerod Bai Matzah. But Chemtzel Shal Yisrael Acher, Chometz of another Jew, even if I'm not Mekabel Achrayis. So the Rashi seems to hold that I am in violation Bal Yerod Bai Matzah. We mentioned that there's a Pilpul Sefer on Masechet Psachim, that's called the Or Chodosh. I think we probably told the whole story that when the Chasam Sefer was Bar Mitzvah, so he said his own Shtikol Torah, he said his own Chiddush, and his Chiddush was to disagree with what his great-grandfather had written in his Sefer on, and I think Kos Yeshuas, Kosis Yeshuas, Yeshuas is said in the Zikon. The Gemara says in Bamem Ablikin, Oyamuris Utecha Chosin Shuas Chachmas Vadas represents the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. Amunis corresponds to Zroi, Utecha corresponds to Moid. Chosin Yeshuas is Noshim Nezikin, and Kochim Taras is Chachma Vadas. So Yeshuas is Nezikin. So there's Svarim on Nezikin that have the name Yeshuas. So there's a Kos Yeshuas and a Kosos Yeshuas. Every so often in the margin of the Gemara, they'll print in the regular Vilna Shas. Ayin Kos Yeshuas. So I think the ancestor of the Nadi Bihuda, the ancestor of the the ancestor of the Chasam Sofer, I think was not the Kosher Shuas. I think it was the Kososher Shuas, a different Sefer. Anyway, so he quoted something from his ancestor and he ripped it apart and he disagreed. He explained why he was wrong. So his father was a balabos. Father the Chasam Sofer was a nice balabos in Frankfurt. And the exes are very respectful, the very proper. So he was very hurt. How can his little boy, he's only 13 years old, have the chutzpah to disagree with his ancestor who wrote his sefer? So he slapped him in public after he said this mitzvah pilpul. He said his own drasha. How do you have the chutzpah to disagree? So the Rebbe was there, Amnason Adler was there, and he said, why did you slap your son? The boy is right and your great-grandfather is wrong. The little kid was right, so he recommended, Rav Nosson Adler recommended to the Chasam Sofer at the age of 13, he better leave his father's home, because the only way to succeed in learning is to ask a lot of kashmir. Things don't make any sense. You have to ask. The Rashi doesn't make sense, the Tosfos doesn't make sense, the Gemara doesn't make sense, the Rambam, you have to ask kashmir, and then lead. This will lead to giving explanations, to learning the correct pshat. But if the father's going to scream at him every time he's going to ask a kashmir, he's not allowed to ask on Rashi, not allowed to ask on Tosfos, so he'll remain in Amoritz. So he encouraged them to leave his father's home, and he left. He left. He never went back home. He stayed with the Rebbe. So he stayed. He didn't marry his daughter. His Rebbe had a daughter. She married someone else. It wasn't the same age. So he left his father's home, and he never went back. So he stayed by his Rebbe. So after a few years of learning, Rav Nosson Adler, recommended he should go to the city Rechnitz in Germany to learn by the Or Chodesh, to learn by this Talmud Chacham. So he traveled there. It took him a few days to get to Rechnitz. And he stayed there for a couple of weeks, and he did not enjoy the shiurim. So he came back to Frankfurt, and he didn't have the chutzpah to ask his Rebbe, why did you send me on a wild goose chase to waste time in Rechnish? I didn't like the shiurim. It was a different style. It was a pilpildikah style. And many years later, the fact that he spent a few weeks in Rechnish is what saved his life. This is related in the biography that's called the Chutam Shulosh. Chutam Shulosh is the biography of the three generations of Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Chasam Sofer and the Ksav Sofer. The Chasam Sofer had three wives, one after the other. After the first wife died, he married the second wife, who was the daughter of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And after she died, then he married the third wife. Third wife was the stepmother of the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which has a haskama from the same author who wrote the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, wrote the Sefer Keses HaSofer, a Sefer for Sofrim, who writes Sefer Torah and Tefillah Mezuzahs. So that Sefer has a haskama from the Chasam Sofer. But the haskama was written before he married the stepmother of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It was before. So when the Chasam Sofer was a rabbi in Pressburg, he had to take care of Dina Torah, had to take care of all of the things that Rabbanim had to take care of. So once one Jewish balabas sold merchandise to another one, and it was faulty merchandise, and it was a Din Torah about Mekach Toys, whether he has to pay or not. So the Chasam Sofer gave a psak, and he wrote down the psak, the official psak. He didn't even ask, he didn't look into it. The merchandise that they sold, that they were fighting about, whether it was a Mekach Tos or not, was brought into the country illegally. It was against the law to bring it in because he didn't pay tax, import tax. So the fact that the Chasam Sofer issued a psak on this merchandise that was sold illegally, that was also against the law. You should have told him that you weren't allowed to sell the merchandise in the first place. So they had a whole court case that were going to put the Chasam Sofer in jail. And he said he's innocent. He didn't know that it was contraband. He didn't know that it was against the law. He didn't even ask what the merchandise was. He just gave a psak, but it wasn't relevant for the Din Torah. So they weren't going to believe him. And then in the court, they always have police in the court to make sure that nobody stirs up any riots. So the policeman asked the judge, "Your Honor, can I say a few words?" That never happened before. The police are just to make sure no one stirs up any trouble. So the judge said yes. So he turns to the Chasam Sofer, who was already an older person, a rabbi, and he says, "Did you ever spend time in the city Rechnitz?" So he says, yeah, it's 30, 40 years ago. He spent a couple of weeks in Rechnin. He says, Your Honor, the man is innocent. Because when he was just a teenager, 16 years old or so, he used to come to the synagogue every morning to pray and then to learn there. And he was the only one from all the children his age who would be respectful and say to me, I used to stand right near the synagogue. And he would always say, good morning, officer. Have a nice day. He was the only one who was respectful from the Jewish children, from the non-Jewish children. He says, I can't believe that now that he became a prominent rabbi, he's going to violate Dinin Malchus. It cannot be. And we have to believe him that he says that he didn't know that it was brought into the country illegally. So then Chassam Sofer understood why the Rebbe sent him to learn in Rechnitz. It wasn't really to learn so much by the Or Chodosh, because it was a different style of learning. It was to save him later, that he won't be in trouble later. Min HaShamayim. Anyway, so the Or Chodosh has a taina against the Pnei Yeshua. How can the Pnei Yeshua say a diuk? The Vilna Gaon also has the same diuk in Rashi. The Rashi only holds chemta shal acherim, shal nochrim, b'shus ha-yisol, you don't violate by your rabbi matz, unless kibbal ol ha-bachrayis. B'chemta shal yisrael acher, you violate by your rabbi matz, even if lod kibbal ol ha-bachrayis. Because what acherim means nochrim, and shal chomet shal acherim shal gavoya, because the bailam of the chomets don't have the mitzvah by your rabbi, that's why their chomets is exempt. B'chemta shal yisrael acher is muzaram by your rabbi matz, so his chomets, I'll violate Balyuwa and his chametz, even if I'm not Mekabel Achrayis. You only have to be Mekabel Achrayis to violate Balyuwa by Matzah if it's chametz shel Nochri. Chametz shel Yisrael Achri, you don't have to be Mekabel Achrayis. So there are Chodesh Tainas, it's against the Befevish and Mishnah. There's a Mishnah later around Mem Vova, so Ketzim Afrish and Chala Betuma. A person is mixing, he's not baking with matzah mil. If you bake with matzah mel, if you cook in matzah mel, it was baked already, and then they grind it up and make it into flour again. So once it was baked, even if you let it soak in water all day long, it's that whatever is afui cannot be bole de chimutz. The Hasidim are concerned about gebroks. They're machmer, it's not against the Gemara. They say that maybe we didn't bake the matzah so well, so maybe some of the matzah is still raw. So the part of the matzah that's still a little bit raw, that can be bole de chimutz. But if the matzah was really baked, then it's not. It can't be bole de chimutz. So in the days of the Gemara, they would cook with kosher lepesach flour, but it wouldn't be baked flour. It would be like the matzah companies bake matzah. They use flour that was not baked yet, so they have to be careful not to let it sit. Soaking when you mix it with the water, if you let it sit for too long, shear mill, more than 18 minutes or 22 and a half minutes, then it'll be bole de chimetz, it'll turn into chametz. So the Mishnah says, if you have enough flour mixed with water, then you chayv to be mafrish chala, and once your mafrish chala belongs to shevet kahuna. So the Mishnah says that you're not in violation of bal yirah by matzei. If you're mafrish chala, if you mix the flour with the water and it belongs to you, you're not mafrish chala yet. So it's all tevel. So then it's your chala. It's your dough. So you will be in violation by your rabbi matzah. But once you're mafrish the chala on it, chala is dinik truma. The truma belongs, it's mamon hashevet, belongs to the kohanim. It doesn't belong to any particular coin. So there's no particular coin who's in violation by your rabbi matzah. Belongs to what we call shevet kahuna. So then the Mishnah says, there's no Bal Yirah by Matzah. So the Or Chodesh Tain is why? But Shevet Kahuna, they're all Jewish. So it's like Chemtza Shel Yisrael Acher B'Shusi. So according to the Pnei Yeshua and according to the Vilna Gaon, he lived before the Vilna Gaon. So he couldn't ask on the Gra. He asked on the Pnei Yeshua. So the Or Chodesh asks, don't you see Chemtza Shel Yisrael Acher, that there is a that there's no violation of Bal Yirah by Matzah. The Mishnah uses a lashon ein zeh chomet shemizar malah b'bal yirah by matze, because it's not shalcho. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, if you read the Rashi on that daf involved slowly and carefully on that Mishnah, it says just the reverse. Rashi says, if I would give the chomets to a particular kohen already, and then I would have the chomets in my rishus, then I would be in violation of bal yirah by matze, even though I was not the kabbal achrayis. But because mana belongs to mamon hashevet, Maman Hashevet, it's not like a shutfis. It's not like you have 100,000 kohanim in the world and they're all shutfim in the truma. No, it's a Chal Hashem Bailus, like Hegdish. Like Hegdish is a Chal Hashem Bailus. It doesn't belong to a person. So Shevet Kehuna is a concept. It's like, according to international law, when you have a corporation, so all the property of the corporation belongs to the dummy corporation. It's not a shutfus. So here also, this is like a corporation. Shevet Kehuna is like a corporation. So it's not really Chemtza Shal Yisrael Acher. The corporation of Shevet Kehuna is not Pechuyiv and Bal Yuah by Marzeh. So just like Hegdish and Akum, Shal Acher and Mishal Gavah, Hegdish and Akum are owners who are La Bar Hochei of Bal Yuah by Marzeh. So their Chometz is exempt from the whole din of Bal Yuah. So too, Chometz that belongs to Shevet Kehuna is also, Shevet Kehuna is not a group of Kohanim, it's not a group of people, it's a Chal Hashem Baalim. It's a corporation. So it's a, that's the Mashmois and the Rashi. That's why there's no Bal Yuah by Matzah, because the Chometz belongs to a Bailim who's not Muzer on the Din of Bal Yuah by Matzah. We pointed out that regarding the Machlekes Rashi and Taisus, when is the Zman of the Kiyom Esei of Tashbisu? The Yisr Esei of Tashbisu is after Chatzos. When is the Zman of the Kiyom Esei? Is it before Chatzos or after Chatzos? So Rashi seems to hold the Kiyom Esei is before Chatzos, and the Yisr Esei is after Chatzos. And Taisus claims everything is after Chatzos. So the Mishnah has a Lashon, Ochlim Kol Arba, you can eat Chometz on Erev Pesach in the fourth hour. The assumption is that the sun rises at 6 o'clock. We have now daylight savings time, so the sun rises at 7 o'clock. Okay. But normally this season of the year, the sun rises approximately six. So from 6 to 7 is Shor Rishona, 7 to 8 is Shnia, 8 to 9 is Shlishis, and Shor Revius is 9 to 10. So Ochlim Kol Arba, you can eat the Chometz during the fourth hour. Tolim Kol Chamesh, between 10 and 11, it's Tolim. Tolim means it's Asa Bachilim Mutamah, no? And Nachamal. What do we say? When is Arba? Nachamal. 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, 9 to 10. So 9 to 10 is Ochlim Kol Arba. Between 9 to 10, you can eat all the Chametz you want. Then between 10 and 11, between 10 and 11, that's Shor Chamishis, is Tolem Kol Chamish. The Chametz is also Bachila Bamuta Bano. And then in Shor Shishis, starting from 11 o'clock, if Chatzos is 12 o'clock, and now everything is different because of daylight savings. But if Menatar Chatzos is 12 o'clock, but Midrabanan Odem Toyo Shor Achas, people may make a mistake. So they said, the Midrabanan, they said we should act as if Chatzos is an hour earlier than it really is. So the Chometz is Asam Anoa starting from 11 o'clock on. So it's Asam Achil and Asam Anoa Mitchila Shesh, in the beginning of the Shor Shishis. Then it says in the Loshana Gemara, the Sarfim Mitchila Shesh. You burn the Chometz, you destroy the Chometz, you do Tashbisu Mitchila Shesh at 11 o'clock. So the Keset Mishnah has two pshatim, Keset Mishnah and the Rambam, has two pshatim, how to understand this. If with the Rabbanan they were goyzer that you treat from 11 o'clock on, I treat it like it's already after Chatzos, because Adam Torah Sha'achas. So after Chatzos, there's an Isser Essay of Tashbisu. The Isser Essay of Tashbisu says, it's also Bachila Osmanon, also Lekaima. You're not allowed to keep it in your possession. And when is this man of the Kiyom Esei? Rashi learns before Chatzos. So how does, so Midrabbanan, they said we should treat it as if 11 o'clock is already Chatzos Midrabbanan. So how can they say Sorfa Mitchilo Sheish? This man of the Kiyom Esei, according to Rashi, is before Chatzos. Because Mishnah doesn't point out this Rashi, it just writes on his own. Two ways to read the Mishnah. So first he thinks that Sorfa Mitchilo Sheish is not to be taken literally. It really means Sorfim before Sheish begins. Sorfim is the mitzvah of Tashbisu. This man to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu is before Chatzos. So since with the Rabbanan we consider as if Chatzos is at 11 o'clock, so with the Rabbanan you should really burn the Chometz before 11 o'clock. So it's a little bit lo meduyak. It's lav davke. It's not meduyak. When it says Sorfim t'chila Sheish, it means Sorfim kodem t'chila Shor Shishis. Then he says, he gives another suggestion. No, maybe the correct Zman of the Kiyam Esei of Tashbisu is after Chatzos. So since by the Rabbanan they considered 11 o'clock as if it's Chatzos, so Sorfim et Chiloshesh, you should burn the Chometz after 11 o'clock. That's why the Balatos is quoted by the Mordechai used to say the Kazais of Chometz till after 12 o'clock. Or by us, because of daylight savings time, it would save till after 1 o'clock. So for the Chacham, why should they be oikah the mitzvah and Torah? He won't be in violation of possessing, keeping the Chometz in his possession, because Daito Labar, he plans to destroy it. So just like there's no Balira by Matzah Daito Labar, so he's not in violation of the Yisr Esi of Tashbisa either. This Daito Labar. So really, he would save a kazayis of chametz to burn it after 12 o'clock, or after 1 o'clock, after the real chatzos manater. So the Kesem Mishnah has the two pshotim in the Mishnah, Sorfim Metchila Sheish. It's really part of the story that he's raising is, that's the machlekes, Rashi and Tesis. When is the Zman of the Kiyom essay of Tashbisu? Is it Dafke after chatzos according to Tesis? So Sorfim Metchila Sheish is to be taken literally. The correct Zman to burn the chametz mid the Rabbanon is after 11 o'clock, because 11 o'clock is already considered chatzos. Maybe you should even do like Bala Tesis that the Mordechai quoted to say, because I still after 12 o'clock, after 1 o'clock, after the chatzos deraisa. And according to Rashi, no, the correct Zman to fulfill a mitzvah, the Kiyam Esei of Tashbisu, is in the morning. The Yisr Esei begins after chatzos, but the Kiyam Esei is before chatzos. So the two pshatim in the Kesef Mishnah really represent the machlekes Rashi and Tesis. So again, so the Gemara says Menator. The Gemara says Hakol Nemanim al Bedikas Chametz Ktanim Anoshim and Avodim. So the Gemara says why? Because Hem Nu Rabbanim Mid Rabbanim. Since the whole din of Bedikas Chametz is only a Chumra Mid Rabbanim. Usually a Kotan is not Neman even on a din de Rabbanim. Only a Kotan Shehigdel is Neman. This is a Kula on top of a Kula. Because Bedikas Chametz is only a Chumra Midirabbanan, and it's not even a regular Din Midirabbanan. So we give Namanus to the Katan, even the Katnus, so he's Naman. Why is Bedikas Chametz holding Midirabbanan? Because Midiraisa, the Bittel Bial Masagi, it's enough of you Mavatla Chametz. So that was Anad Gemara, that was Machlekes, Rashi and Tosis, what is accomplished if you Mavatla Chametz? So Rashi holds what you accomplish is that's the Kiyam HaMitzvah, because the Targum Onkelos says on the Pasuk, Tashbisu Tevatlun. And Rashi understood the Targum to mean Tevatlun, make an oral declaration that you Mevatla Chametz. Tosis says, how can it be? That's not L'Rabbi Yehuda, it's not L'Rabbanan. That's not the way, it's not Bisrefa. It's not Hash B'Sasa B'Chol Dov. You have to destroy the Cheftza. So Tosis said that's not what it means. That Vitl Chametz, going to Tosis means you Mafke the Chametz. And once you Mafke the Chametz, it's Ein Shalcha. So Memele, there's no Bali Rabbi Matz, but it's not a Kiyam HaMitzvah. It's a way to avoid. It's a way to beat the system, a way to avoid violation of Bal Yerubai Matzah. So we say both of the time, we say, Kol Chamira, any Chametz Asada have the Ike Dushusi, Livotel, Ka'afra De'ara, I'm a Vatlit, I don't consider it of value, I'm not going to eat it, I don't plan to sell it, I don't plan to get any benefit from it. So according to Rashi, we have already, according to Rashi in the Ramban, a whole group of Rishonim who agree with Rashi, we have by that oral declaration, libatal kafra dar, we have fulfilled the mitzvah of Tashbisu. But according to Tosfos, you haven't fulfilled anything. That's a joke, that's nothing. So then you say, but the heavy hefker, and we're mafkerit also. We do both. We say the loshen according to Rashi, libatal kafra dara, should be batal mavutla, I don't plan to benefit, I don't plan to eat it, I to benefit from it. The levy hefker should be hefker. So the Ramban, who sides with Rashi, is not happy with Tosfos that Bitl Chametz means a mafka. Why? Because he quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi has a machlokes hatanoim, two brises that contradict each other. What's the din Chametz shel hefker b'shus haYisrael? Is the Yisrael in violation of Bal Yerubai by Matzeh? Why should there be Bal Yerubai by Matzeh? According to Tosfos, he only violate Bal Yerubai. The Chametz is shalcha. Shalacher means if it belongs to anybody else. It has to be shalcha b'shuscha. So if it doesn't belong to me, there's no violation. Apparently, at least one Tana in Yerushalmi is of the opinion that Chemtza shall hefker, there is by you by Matzah. In order to violate by you, you don't need that it should belong to you. It's only Hegdish is a Hafka, And Akum, Nachri is a Havkosh, Shalacher, Ninshal Nachrim. If the owner of the Chometz is either Hegdish, Gavoya, or Nachrim, so the owner is not a Barachia violating Bayuah by Matzah. So his Chometz is exempted. But Chometz Shal Hefka doesn't belong to anybody. So if it doesn't belong to anybody, then you can say that Bailim is not a Barachia Bayuah by Matzah. Therefore, his Chometz is exempt. So that's one opinion. That's one opinion. So this is really a question. Is that really the definition of Hefka? Hefka means ownerless. When the Rabbanu Shalom created the world, so everything was ownerless. And he said everything is up for grab. So whoever wants to be koina, everyone can go ahead. So everybody grabbed. Everything in the world already belongs to someone. Every stretch of earth. But if someone made a kinyan, everybody was zeicha. Once you're zeicha and a hefker, so you have, once everything was hefker, ownerless. Once you're zeicha, so we have a pasuk that says you have the ability to be mafke. Where is that pasuk? The pasuk, I think, is in Parshas Mishpatim. It says, Hashviyas Tishmetena Unetashta. It says twice, Tishmetena Unetashta. Keifa Loshen. So Keifa Loshen is a machlekes hatanaim, the darshan lushen is kfulim. You have a lot of times in Chumash that says, Hanik Tanik Nosin Titan, Vasach Tiftach, Mos Yumas. A lot of times like that. So that's a machlekes hatanaim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, where they say, Dibatur Kedushan Beni Adam, Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter, but he dictated it the way people speak. So just like people speak, a lot of times they repeat themselves, they say things unnecessarily, they already said it. So you have psukim and chumash like that, they have phrases that are not really necessary, that don't teach us anything. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. So Rabbi Shmuel holds, a lot of times you have a whole pasuk, it was written only to teach you one din. But what were all the other, why was the rest of the pasuk written? You don't have to have an explanation for every phrase. And Rabbi Akiva doesn't accept that. Rabbi Akiva's opinion has been accepted. Lo dibur tokel isha meyodim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. Every word has a significance, and every phrase and every letter has a significance. So that's why Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that you do have the right to darshan l'shanis kfulim. So whenever it says Hanik Tanik Dasan Titan Basar Tif, the Gemara always has a drasha, and the accepted opinion is taka like Rabbi Akiva. See, here the pasuk says that there's a mitzvah on the Jewish farmer who owns a farm in Eretz Yisrael. Hashviyas Tishmetena Unetashta. The farmer should be mafke the peiros. That was a big machlokes between Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Mabit. The Mabit was on his bezdin in the 1500s in Tzfat. So the Rabbi Yosef Kari's opinion was Tishmeten on Atashta is a mitzvah, the owner of the farm, he should be mafka the peiros. And if he's calls man, he's not mafka the peiros belong to him, no one's allowed to take the peiros. And Eretz Yisrael, those religious farmers who want to fulfill the mitzvah, they put up a sign, all the peiros are hefker, and whoever wants can please enter the field and take all the peiros that they want to eat in Shnas HaShemitah. So that's the Beis Yosef holds like that. Tishmetena is a mitzvah on the farmer that he should be mafker. But it says Tishmetena unetashta. Why the Kefa Loshen? So the Yerushalmi said, Tosis Mavakama quotes this passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi on Mishnah Yispeya. Yerushalmi says, this pasuk is the mucker that you have the right to be mafker any other property you want. And not only can you be mafker, not only is it a mitzvah to be mafker, the Perishvist, the Gwam Shnas HaShmita, if the owner of the farm is a Jewish owner. Whenever you want to be mafka anything, if you have an extra copy of the Chazanish, you want to be mafka, just put it on the hefka table, and kol hakodim zocha, whoever wants can take. Or if you have leftover food from a sheva bracha, so from a bris, or from a pidyon haben, so you put it on the hefka table, you can be mafka things. So we learn out from that pasuk, there's an institution of hefka. So that's the shaila. What does hefka mean? Hefka means it reverts back to its original state, just like when the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world, everything was ownerless. So even after you acquire ownership, you can. There is a possibility to revert back to the state of being ownerless. Or maybe there's room to say no. Ownerless was only when the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world, Sheshes Mei Bereshis, and everything in the world was Hefker, and he said, everything is up for grabs, Kol HaKodim Zocha. Once people acquired ownership, you learn that from the Pasuk, you can be Mafker, Tishmetenu and Tashnoch, that's the institution of Hefka, then maybe Hefka doesn't mean ownerless. Maybe you can never revert back to that pristine state of Sheshes May Breshes, that everything in the world was on a list. Maybe what it means is, like we said, the Mishnah and Daf Mevavim Sochim. If you mafrish chala, if you have a lot of Isa, and you mafrish chala, the chala belongs to Mam and Hashavit. So Mam and Hashavit is not a shut for Savola Kahanim. Then there would be Balira, according to Rashi, Chemtza Shal Yisrael Acher, Bishu Si, there would be Balira by Matzeh, even if I'm not Mekabal Acharayis. But if the Chametz belongs to the Shevet Kuna, Shevet Kuna is not a shutva. Shevet Kuna is like a corporation. It's a Chaloshem Bailam. It belongs to the dummy corporation, the dummy group of Shevet Kuna. So maybe Hefker means it belongs to the Tzibur. It's the Bailas of the Tzibur. There are two kinds of ownership of the Tzibur. The Tzibur owns the municipal building, City Hall. And the Tzibur owns, the community owns the streets and the highways and so on. It owns those that they should remain in the ownership of the state or the federal government, whatever, whoever owns the different highways or the state government or the federal government. And then sometimes the Tzibur owns property with respect to like Maman HaShevet. Shevet Kuhuna owns the Truma, so that any member of the Shevet has a right to take it. Anyone who's a member of the Shevet Kuhuna has a right to take it, and he can become the owner of it. So Maman Hefker, maybe if so, in there, but when the Bashan created the world, everything was Hefker, everything was ownerless. So Kol HaKodim Zocha. After people were Zocha, they have the ability to be Mafker, Tishmatenu and Tashta, Yeshlach Nikish Acherishi, because it doesn't mean that they make it ownerless. They mean they could be makneh to the tzibur, to the rabbim, that any member of the rabbim has a right to take it and convert it. Instead of being mamana tzibur, it could be mamono. So this is the suggestion the Chazon Ish has in the beginning of Mishnayis Orla. There's a Mishnah Hanatel Rabbim, there's a Machlekes Hatanaim. The Chumash says in Parshas Kedoshim, the din of Orla, Kisavoy al Haaretz and the Taitim Kol Eitz Machal, when the Jews will enter Eretz Yisrael and they'll plant their fruit-bearing trees. So there's a din of Orla, the pears that grow the first 3 years are Asa Bachila and Asa Bahanoah. So there's a Machloikas Hatanaim, whether the din of Orla applies on a Teil Rabbim. What if the trees belong to the municipality? It's not privately owned by a person. What do you mean, on a Teil Rabbim? A fellow owns a tree and he owns a farm and he plants the tree and it belongs to the rabbim. How did he transfer the ownership to the rabbim? So the Chazon Ish says, it would appear from the Mishnah, you just make an oral declaration. You say, if I make an oral declaration, my jacket should not belong to you. That's the first line in the Rambam in Hilchas Mechira. Ein ha-mekech nikne midvarim. You can't transfer ownership just by making an oral declaration. I hereby declare it belongs to you. Indeed, in the Malchus in New York State, I think they distinguish between karka and metaltalim. That karka is not nikne bedvarim, but metaltalim is nikne bedvarim. If I say, I'm selling you this sack of potatoes and it's now yours, and you agree, and you have to pay me a dollar for the sack of potatoes. So the potatoes already belong to you. I can't back out even though you didn't make a kinyan yet. Metaltalim could be nikne with an oral declaration. Only karka needs a kinyan. But in halacha, it's the same karka and metaltalim. You have to have ena mekech nikne midvarim. So the Chazon Ish points out there's a Ramah. The Ramah in Choshen Mishpat doesn't quote it, but the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe are the comments of the Ramah on the bottom of the page on the tour. So I think it's in Shin Lamed Gimel, if I'm not mistaken, Shin Lamed Beis, Shin Lamed Gimel, the simit about tzchiras poyalim. In Choshen Mishpat. So Rabbi Kiveger on the page quotes this from the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe on the tour, B'shem HaMordechai in Bava Metziah, that if I want to, let's say there's a business that's on the Shutfas by three people, and I agree to sell them something at a certain price, then I want to back out. So the Mordechai says, if it's owned by three people, that's a Rabbim, and a rabbim akaina bidibur alon bidvar malon. The rabbim don't need a ma'aser kinyan. The first klal in the Rambam, perek aleph halacha aleph and mechira, ein hamekech nikne midvar malon, only applies to a yochid. Kisim kamim kala misecha kara yana misecha. Then you need a ma'aser kinyan la misecha to an individual person, but if you or to a yisrael or to a nochri. But if you're makna to the rabbim, a rabbim is defined as three, then you don't need a ma'aseh kinyan. So the Chazon Ish says, where did they come up with this idea? So he claims maybe the makar, maybe the makar is this pasuk of hefker. Hefker means you're makna to the rabbim, so that any member of the rabbim has a right to take it for himself. But there's the two kinds of makna to rabbim. You can be makna to the rabbim, that it should belong to the municipality, that no one has a right to take it. Or you can be makna to the rabbim, that any member of the rabbim has a right. So he has a chiddush that he's not sure. He suggests that maybe he's noted to say that hanatel a rabbim means he could be makna to the rabbim without any need for a ma'aseh kinyan. And that's what hefker is all about. Hefker means you're makna to the rabbim, that any member of the rabbim has a right to take it for himself. If you say it like that, then it should be, it's not that, then the chomet shal hefke b'shus ha-Yisrael should be the chomet, it should be the same as chemta shal nochri, chemta shal gavoya, just like gavoya is a chaloshem b'ilim, doesn't mean that God owns the chomet. It means a chaloshem, it's a corporation. Hegdash owns the chomet. So there's no ba'yiroe if the hegdash on the chomet. Hegdish is not a Jewish person. It's a Chaloshem Ba'ilim, just like a corporation, according to Din and the Machus, is a Chaloshem Ba'ilim. Whether the Halacha recognizes, you see, the Halacha recognizes such a thing as a Chaloshem Ba'ilim. That's Hegdish, and that's what Tzedakah, let's say Tzedakah owns the Gizbashel Tzedakah. So the Mammon belongs to Tzedakah, that's a Chaloshem Ba'ilim. It doesn't mean it belongs to all the Yaniim. No. Or let's say, where else do you have? Mammon HaShevet. Mammon HaShevet is also a Chaloshem Ba'ilim. So we recognize sometimes a Ba'ilus of a Chaloshem Ba'ilim. The question is, because the whole international world of business has accepted this concept of corporations, that there's a Chaloshem Ba'ilim of a corporation, do we accept that? So that's a question. Maybe not. We accept there is such a thing as a Chaloshem Ba'ilim. That's Mammon HaShevet, that's Hegdish. And maybe Hefker is like that. Rabbim is like that. But the question is, do we accept that every time the Din and the Malchusa makes such a concept, they say that whenever you incorporate your business, it's a Chaloshem Ba'ilim. So that was a big machlokes, the Gedolim in Europe. Rav Moshe, in his Tshuvos, is of the opinion that we don't accept it. It's limited liabilities. In other countries, they don't call it a corporation. They write limited. Limited means limited liabilities. There's only Shibin Nechosim. There's no Shibin Aguf on the partners. The Moshe is of the opinion that really the property of the corporation is owned b'shutfus by the people who own the corporation. It mamish theirs, shalahem, shalo, b'shusat theirs. But there's limited liabilities. When they entered into the agreement, they sold something or whatever, they borrowed money. So it was understood that they're not accepting any Shibin Aguf. They're only accepting Shibin Nechosim to the extent of the Nechosim that they put into the corporation. And other Gedolim held no, that since the Halacha does have such a concept as a Chaloshem Ba'ilim, and the Haskamas HaMedinas is that the corporation is a Chaloshem Ba'ilim, so we should accept it. That's a big machlokes, that's a big shaila how you paskin. Okay, what else do we chaza? Oh yeah, we were discussing the Meiri had a machlokes, if you bodek before you dalit, if you bodek before you dalit, whether you recite the bracha or not. Why do you recite the bracha al biyochamitz? You don't say a bracha al bedikas chametz, say a bracha al biyochamitz. Apparently, mid the rabbanim they declared that the bedikas is the tchilas habiyor. We discussed yesterday, maybe called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Raisa Tikkun, maybe on the level of the Raisa, if you're not Mevatla Chometz, maybe then Bedikas Chometz plays a role on the level of the Raisa. Two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. Or maybe it's came the Raisa Tikkun of Bir Chometz, of Bir Abadizor in Eretz Yisrael, that Tzorch L'Sharish Achreha. Okay, so the Bedikas Chometz is the Tchilas HaBir, and that's why we recite the Brach Al Bir Chometz, before you do the Bedikas Chametz. Well, what if you're doing the Bedikas Chametz before you dalit? So if Erev Pesach Choli is B'Shabbos, so you can't do Bedikas Chametz or on Erev on Friday night, so you do it the night before. So kach tikkun chachamim, okay? That's what they're mesakan. So then you say a bracha when you do the bedikas chamziv. No, it's not orla basar. It's all the yud gimel. Kach tikkun chachamim. Well, what if it's not tikkun chachamim? It's shloshim yom kodem achag shawipat maklag zatanaim. But the sholem v'doshim milchas achag is shloshim yom or shtei shabbos. So we pass on like the chachamim that is shloshim yom. So 30 days before the Zman of Rosh Chodesh Nissan, when you're supposed to bring the new Karbonis Tzibur from the new Machzah Shekel money, that's when we have to start figuring out how is everybody going to bring the money together. So whenever there's a mitzvah, Bob and Zman and Zman, we explained yesterday, then you have to start thinking about it. You have to start thinking on Tesvav Elul, where am I going to sit in Sukkah? Where am I going to make a Sukkah? Or you have to start thinking on Rosh Chodesh Elul, where am I going to daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Where am I going to listen to Tki? Who knows how to blow shofar well? Who's a good Baal Tefillah? Which shul am I going to daven in? So you have to 30 days before, you don't have to think every Shabbos, where am I going to daven? Wherever you daven their Shabbos, you're going to daven this Shabbos. You don't have to start thinking 30 days before. But it's a mitzvah, bom is man, is man. Then you have to start thinking 30 days before. So you call shloshim yom, kodem achag shonam v'doshim v'uchas achag. So that's why the Gemara says they made a takana, you have to do bedikas chametz. If you're going to leave your apartment within 30 days before, you have to do bedikas chametz. So the Miri has two opinions, whether you recite the bracha on bedikas chametz at that time. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah has accepted the opinion that no, you only say a bracha if you do the bedikan early arba osar, or if a Pesach is b'Shabbos, then you do you say a bracha when you do the bedikah on Thursday night, or l'shlosha osar. Why? Because the bedikah is the tchilas abiyah, but it says ach b'yom harishon tashbisa. B'yom harishon doesn't mean the first day Pesach; it means era Pesach. So tashbisu, you have to destroy the chametz. So when is this man of tashbisu? So according to Tosfos, this man of tashbisu is after chatzos. According to Rashi, when is this man of the kiyum mitzvah? You only say a bracha when you do a kiyum mitzvah. When you avoid violation of an iser, so you don't say a bracha. So when is this man of the kiyum mitzvah? According to Tosfos, this man of mitzvah on the level of the raisa, this man of mitzvah of the kiyum ha'esei is after chatzos. According to Rashi, no, this man of mitzvah is before chatzos. But we do the bedikas chametz leil. Our boss said that's before the morning. So midrabbanan they stretched it. Midrabbanan they moved it up. According to Tosfos, the zman of the kiyama mitzvah begins after chatzos. Midrabbanan they moved it up till the night before. Leil Yudal. Then according to Rashi, it's the morning. They moved it up till the night before. So that's why he said bracha. But if you're gonna do the bdikas chametz a week before or 3 weeks before, takeh shloshim yom kodem achag, you have to start worrying not to violate ba'yura ba'imotze. Is there a shem ayochal? Tosfos says the first Tosfos himself. Is there a shem ayochal? Okay, but that's not the zman of the mitzvah. The zman of the mitzvah of tashbisu is only on erev Pesach or midrabbanan. If erev Pesach only is b'Shabbos, they moved up the bdikas chametz to early yud gimel. But if you're going to do a bdikah earlier than that, that's not the correct zman. If you're going to blow shofar, I'm not going to have a shofar available on Rosh Hashanah. So I'll blow shofar a week before Rosh Hashanah. So you can't say a bracha, it'll be a bracha levatola. Over here, it'll be a bracha levatola also, because the bedikas chametz is in order to avoid violation of achilas chametz, in order to avoid violation of bal yirah by matzei, but it's not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. You can't say that the bedikah is the tchilas abir, is the tchilas abir, because it's not on the right date. So that's the way we paskin. Yeah. Why does the Mishnah have the Loshon orli abosbs? Gemara says, Lishna mal yenokat. Should always speak Loshon Nikia. Not only the Chumash, even Dinim de Rabbanon when you're talking learning. Not only Dinim de Rabbanon, even when you're talking Bidu de Alma, you should always speak Loshon Nikia. And people who are not careful about speaking Loshon Nikia, so the Chachamim investigated and they found that there was something wrong with them. So one should always be careful. So why does it say Orla Basa instead of saying Leil? Laila, it's dark outside. Orla Mazez, Daimela Laila means that you don't know what's going on. So Orla Basa is a Lashon Nekiyah. Okay, that's the simple reading in the Gemara. On the bottom of the Rif, they have comments by the Ravid. So the Ravid comes up with a Chiddush Niflo. He says, whenever it says in Mishnayis, or, and it really means Laila, it means that the din begins when it's still light outside. The din doesn't begin. There's a period of Ben Hashmashes, that we consider Safik Am Safik Laila. That's the Mishnah in Bama Madlikin. Safik Hashecha, Safik Ena Hashecha. What are the dinim of Ben Ashmashes? When is Ben Ashmashes? So that's a big machlekes Hatanaim, Reb Yudah and Reb Yosi quoted there in the end of Perek Bama Madlikin. Reb Yudah, the Tana Reb Yudah, is of the opinion that it's a whole block of time. The Pashto says that it depends which season of the year you're talking about. It's not the Malamed Lohoyel writes that he thought for many years that it's a certain fraction of the length of the day. Sometimes the days are very much longer than other days, which are much shorter. So he thought it's always a fraction of the day until he spoke to the astronomer and explained to him, no, it's not a percentage of the day. It depends how close the earth is to the sun. What degree angle the sun will be below the horizon will determine whether it stays a kohavim or not. So different seasons of the year, it'll be different. It's not a fixed amount of time. Prima Gordon writes, if it's always 72 minutes. So that's what the Malamed Lohel says. That's not really correct. More correct is what the Balatanya writes. Balatanya writes in his Siddur that it changes, depends summer or winter, which season of the year it is. And that's what the Vilna Gaon also holds like that. It changes depending on the latitude and the longitude, which part of the world you're in, and how close the earth is to the sun. It's a certain degree angle of the sun below the horizon that'll determine when is Alos HaShachar and when is Tzeisah Kachovin. So Reb Yudah, the Tana, is of the opinion that starting from Shkia, there's a block of time, sometimes a longer period of time, sometimes shorter. And that block of time, it's after the Shkia, but it's before Tzeisah Kachovin. So that's called Bein HaShmashes. And Bein HaShmashes has a din of Safik. The rabbis couldn't figure out the answer. They should have established a committee, and they said, we're not going to let anybody leave this room until they determine when is Laila. Why did they leave it like this? So there's a Ritva in Yuma that became popular in recent years. The Ritva in Yuma says, as a mashal, he wants to explain it. Gemara in Yuma, so he gives this as a mashal, as if this is given, as if everybody knows this. He says, Bein HaShmashes has properties of Yom and of Laila, and because it's a type that is Asri, so therefore you treat it as if it were a Suffolk. It's not really a Suffolk. It's both Yom and Laila because the sun set, but it's still light outside. So that's, so Al-Pidin, you treat it like a Suffolk. So you have to go the Chumer in both directions. Whenever you have type that is Asri, the Halacha says you treat it as a Suffolk. Rav Soloveitchik in his shiurim used to speak a lot about, he spoke about this Ritva. He once gave a Yortzeit Drasha based on this Ritva in Yuma. And in his shiurim, he gave different mishalim. Sometimes you have something that's both karka and metaltalim at the same time. Sometimes you have a person that's both an eved and a ben chorin. Chatz eved v'chatz ben chorin. You have, every so often you have cases like this. Something is both kli cheres and kli mateches at the same time. So Rav Soloveitchik apparently got it from the Avdei Nezer when he was younger in Europe. He used to use the Avdei Nezer. Every so often he would quote the Avdei Nezer. He wouldn't always remember exactly what the Avdei Nezer said, but he would remember certain topics. So this he got. Avdei Nezer has this in quite a few places, that there's a concept of a Tate de Sasri and Halacha. It's both contradictory things at the same time. And we treat it as a suffix. So that's Reb Yudah's opinion, that there's a block of time. Different parts of the world is going to be different amount of time. And this block of time from the Shkia till Tzeisah Kachovim is Bein HaShmashes. That's Safik Yam Safik Laila. Reb Yosi is of the opinion that Bein HaShmashes is Keherafayin, the blink of an eye. When is the Herafayin? So a lot of Balabatim make a mistake. They think a half a minute after the Shkia is already Laila. So you don't have to, you wait till after Shkia and Shabbos is over. You wait a Herafayin, Shabbos is over. No, the Gemara says the Herafayin of Rabbi Yosi is either the last Herafayin of Rabbi Yudah's time period. That's Rabbi Yudah holds 25 minutes, let's say. So the Rabbi Yosi is of the opinion the first 24 and a half minutes is Vadayayim, and the last Herafayin of the 25 minutes will be Bein HaShmashes, Safik Yam, Safik Laila. That's one version. The other version is, no, the whole 25 minutes of Reb Yudah, according to Reb Yosi, are Vada Yayim, and the next terrifying is the Bein HaShmashes. These two Lashonos of Rabbi Yossi, whether he means today's the last terrifying of Rabbi Yehuda's man or the next terrifying. This doesn't appear there in Bamei Madlikin. This appears in Maseches Nida. What's it doing in Maseches Nida? The din is a woman can become a Zaba Gedoyla if she has a Riaz Dam below Es Nidosa. When is low Es Nidosa? So the Mishnah says, Yud Aleph Yom Shebei Nida LeNida. There are 11 days after the woman became a Nida for 7 days. So the next 11 days, she has the ability to become a Zaba Gedoyla if she has Riaz Dam 3 days in a row. So the Riaz Dam can be on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It has to be consecutive days. If they're not consecutive days, she doesn't become a Zohar Gadol. Tosafot quotes Rav Sad Yigon wrote a commentary on Chumash. Rav Sad Yigon writes in his commentary that the Zohar Gadol can become any 3 days of the Yud Aleph Yom Shebeit Nida Nida, she becomes a Zohar Gadol. They don't have to be consecutive days. So Tosafot says, with all due respect to Rabbeinu Sad Yigon, it's against the Beferish Gemara. Has to be 3 consecutive days. A Gemara Nida, in the middle of Maseches Nida. So the Gemara says there, it depends on Bein Hashmashes and Seisak Kochavim. If she has a Riaz Dam during Bein Hashmashes, that's a Safi Yom Safik Laila. So she'll be a Zohar. Let's say she had a Riaz Dam on Sunday and Monday, then she has a Riaz Dam in the Bein Hashmashes between Monday and Monday night. So that's a Safik whether I treat it like Tuesday. So if I treat it like Tuesday, she had a Riaz Dam 3 days in a row, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. But if I treat the Bein Hashmashes as Yom, then she only had a Riaz Dam 2 days in a row, Sunday and Monday, at Bein Hashmashes is Kiyom. So that's, the Gemara says there, according to Rabbi Yossi, either the first 24 and a half minutes of Rabbi Yehuda's time is Vadayam, and the last half minute, the last terrifying is the Bein Hashmashes, or the whole 25 minutes is Vadayam, and the next terrifying is Teskacham. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yossi? So the Gemara in Masech Shab is the end of Bamei Madlikin over there by Savik Hashecha, Savik Ein Hashecha, what are the dinam of Bein Hashmashes? So the Gemara there says we go the Chumra in both directions. Means that we're not sure. So the Bir Agro sounds in Hilchas Hadlokas Neiris when it says when is Bein Hashmashes. So the Bir Agro sounds as if he writes like that. We treat it as a Sveka the Dina, whether the Dina is like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yossi. There's a Mishnah Brura in the Bir Halacha and Chelek Dalet of the Mishnah Berurah, that's the Chelek that people usually don't ever look at, has all of Hilchas Erevin. So the din is when you make an Eruv Chatzeres or Eruv Etchumen or Shetufa Mavuas, the Erev, the box of matzahs or whatever, the jar of pickles, has to be Kayam Bein Hashmashes. Called Bein Hashmashes. Bein Hashmashes HaPiyam Safik Lada has to be Kayam the whole Bein Hashmashes. So when is Bein Hashmashes? So the Bir Halacha writes, look at the Gemara Pesachim Beis Amar Aleph. The Gemara has a Lashon, the Kaimalon, the Ad Seisa Kachavim, Yimamahu, up until Seisa Kachavim is Yom. What do you mean until Seisa Kachavim is Yom? It's not true. There's a whole block of time, 25 minutes or so. 25, 35 minutes or so. That's a Safiyam Safik Lada. How does the Gemara say? Ad Seisa Kachavim Vada Yimamahu. So he says the Gemara in Psochem da Beis Amarav sounds like it's following the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, and it sounds as if that's the Iker Adin. So let's say you treat the Bein Hashmashes as a Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Sometimes you can be Mekel on a person made an Erev, and the Erev was eaten up. So the dog ate up the Erev. Yeah, Queenie ate up the Erev. So what do you do? So if the Erev was Kayam and part of Bein Hashmashes, so there's room to be Mekel. Yeah, but according to, if the din really is like Rabbi Yossi, that the first 24 and a half minutes is Vadayim. So then it's Vadayim. It wasn't even Kayam for 1 minute in Bein Hashmashes. Bein Hashmashes, Mikra Din, is only the next terrifying, or the next, either the last terrifying of the 25 minutes, or the next terrifying after. So that's the Mishnah Berurah thinks, that based on our Gemara, that based on Aleph, it would appear that the din really is like Rabbi Yossi, not like the Bir Agro. Okay. Maybe tomorrow we'll continue. I didn't explain what the Bir Agro says. What the Vilna Gaon is talking about, that he is assuming that it's a sfeika the din. He has a line, Trei Kula Lo Mikelina. It's not right to be Mekel a Kula on top of the Kula. So maybe we'll stop with that tomorrow. We'll continue the Chazara. Okay. Everyone should have a nice, healthy day.
Rebbe?
Yes.
From a couple of shiurim ago, Rebbe was discussing Erevin and mechitzos. And if I recall correctly, Rebbe said that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a tzuras haPesach is a mechitza gerua.
Yes.
Does Rebbe remember which siman that is in Shulchan Aruch?
Where that's in Shulchan Aruch? I'll have to look. Okay. I have to look. I'll try to find it. Good.
Thank you.
The Ritva disagrees. The Ritva holds that the Tzuras HaPesach is a perfect mechitza, not grua. So also Rab Matla mechitza doesn't bother us, but we don't accept that opinion of the Ritva. The Ritva said that's what the Tzuras HaPesach is made, that people should walk through the entranceway, the doorway. That's what it's for. So the fact that the people walk through the Tzuras HaPesach is not a chisorn. And we assume that halacha is not so, since it's a mechitza grua. So you can't be ba'arev ariel vishu sarabim deraisa with that. Because asa rabim and vatla mechitza. If you have mechitza's brias, then you don't worry about asa rabim and vatla mechitza. If you have mechitza's gruas, then you do worry about it. Yeah, we'll have to look it up. Okay. Very good. So we'll get together tomorrow. We'll continue the chazorah. Okay.